Once again, as we go to the Lord in prayer, let's begin to just quieten our thoughts, our minds that rages from one thing to the next, our hearts that are troubled, our hearts that are rejoicing. Let us all just submit to the Lord right now and just give him glory and honor in our hearts, minds, and soul. Because we're coming to the King of Kings. He is the awesome one, the only true living God, and no one has done and can do what he is doing and has done. So, Father, we come to you, the living God, in the name of your Son, Jesus, praising you for this day, praising you for the glory and the mercy that you've already bestowed upon us as we walk in life today by your power, not by ours. We give you glory, honor, and praise, Father, in the name of Jesus, for you deserve that and so much more. Our words are so insufficient to you, who you are and what you mean to us. So all we can truly say, Father, in the name of Jesus, is thank you. Thank you for the mercy and kindness that you have poured out our way. Thank you for the love that you've shown us. Thank you for waking us up into another day and the beginning of a new week. We thank you and we praise you, Father God, because you didn't have to do it. So, Lord, we give you glory and honor. We bless your name for who you are. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah, Almighty God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for giving us a new start in this day. What has happened yesterday is over, but today is a new beginning in you, for every day is a brand new day in you. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the power of knowing that through your word. Lord, your word is truly a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Let our light shine because of who you are, Father. Increase our faith and increase this service, Lord, that we would be able to hear from what you have for us to hear and do what you want us to do. Bless this time as we gather in your word. Bless the speaker, Jeanette, as she brings forth your word. Empower her with your Holy Spirit. Let a fresh anointing fall there right now in the name of Jesus. Yes. Oh, Lord, we thank you for her. Bless her, Lord. Anoint her, Father. Touch Alexandra as she brings forth your word to read it, Lord God. Oh, give her a fresh and a new beginning right now today, even in her thought life. As she reads the word, let them become amplified off the pages because they are truly your living word. They are your breath, Lord God. Breathe on us with your words today, Father. Transform us and renew us. Then, Lord, let our hearts be surrendered to you, no longer to our will, but to your will. And may your will be done, and every aspect will take place today. All glory and honor is yours, Lord. We thank you for this time in you, around you, and with you. Take over, Holy Spirit. Take over everything that will take place. In Jesus' name, we welcome you today, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that.
Could you guys hear a sound in the background?
Sounded like somebody was talking, but like a mumble, but it's gone.
Okay.
You're clear?
It was actually coffee percolating.
Oh, no, we didn't hear no coffee percolating. What the heck? Oh, Lordy. Love you.
Thank you. Love you guys too. Well, last week we started the book of Acts, or the week before. And Acts, as we talked about, is what the apostles did, the Acts of the apostles following the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to do a quick recap. They waited for Jesus to send his Holy Spirit that would be coming from heaven, or as the Father would send. And when they received it, they became changed. It's funny how this happens to be what we're talking about right now with what's going on in this ministry right now. It's really kind of amazing, amazing. That's God all day long, so that we have understanding. Well, once the Holy Spirit came and fell on the people, the church began to grow, and it's just exploding. And it seems that the very simplest of message is reaching the hearts. I'm bringing that up because sometimes we think we have to know more than we need to know or complicate issues. We don't need to do that.
Yeah.
It's not complicated. And when you start hearing what Peter was saying and doing, all he's doing is bringing the simple message that Jesus is the Messiah, that he was the one, and that he is the road to heaven. It's a very simple message. And repent and be saved.
Yes.
A lot of times people will not open their mouth, as we talked about last week, how important it is to open your mouth. They won't open their mouth because what is the number one thing I hear? I don't really know enough. How much do you need to know?
Yeah.
Is it important to know God's word? Is it important to know the Old Testament? Of course it is. But that should. But if you have the general understanding of what happened in Gethsemane, the general understanding that it was prophesied that Jesus would come and he came, if you have that general understanding, you know enough to share God's word with somebody.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm going to say this, and I don't know why this is coming up now, but I'm going to say this. Sometimes some people's ministry is a little different. I have a very dear friend whose ministry is just so strong in the area of help. One of the gifts of the Spirit is helping and serving. He is so strong in that area. I've never heard him particularly talk so much about Jesus, but his ministry is building houses for people, finding out there's a need and making it happen.
Amen.
He'll hear about some girl whose mother just died and the house is being taken by. And before you know it, he's gone out and has built another house for this person. Person doesn't even know it's being built. And he's got a history of helping for years because that's his gift. So some of us won't be so much in expounding the scripture as living the life that Jesus asks us to live.
Yes, hallelujah.
And don't think that the Lord is coming up short. Like, oh dear, let me see. I have the gift of helping and serving and hospitality, and I had all these people over in my house, and I never really ministered to anybody. Remember that the church is the body of Christ, and so the Lord knows what your gifts are, and so he's probably coupling you with someone who has the ability to expound on the scriptures in a way that people can understand it. Make sense?
Yes.
But all of us at some point should be sharing the gospel with somebody, whether it is just your children, whether it is just being at a Bible study and I'm not really a teacher, I'm not really a facilitator, but you have something that you can bring. There's all kinds of ways to minister. Okay, so the Holy Spirit has fallen on the people and the apostles, it's very clear, it says the apostles were doing signs and wonders. And as they were doing this, why we talked about last week, why the apostles? Why wasn't everybody doing signs and wonders? Mm-hmm. For one, that would be the epitome of chaos. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine a blind person and everybody runs over there to pray over the blind person? Mm-hmm. That would be chaos.
<Yeah.
laughs> That's a blind person. Wow.
Yeah.
So instead, this was given to the apostles. They would lay hands on, and the signs and wonders were amazing. And we also talked about the reason why. So that because when the people saw the signs and wonders, they became in awe or fearful, and their hearts were open to hear now because of what they had visually seen. Sometimes, unfortunately, people, you know, especially in a day and time now where we have so much social media and we have so many avenues through the internet, it's easy to get caught up with any Joe Blow walking by.
Yeah.
But the Lord has still been faithful that there are certain people that he has given a certain anointing, and they will lay hands on a person and they'll be healed.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, whatever else it is. I've seen him take people out of a coma. I've seen him do it. Why? So that when you have the propensity to want to dismiss that person, something in you has been triggered that, no, God's hand is on that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So now we're going to start on that. Now, Peter has just finished talking to the people that were amazed at the falling of the Holy Spirit and explaining to them what was going on. Now, this is another day, and they're walking into the temple, and we're in the third chapter of Acts. Chapter 1, Alexandra, please.
Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he
Amen.
Took him.
Stop right there.
Amen.
I want you to see the visual, because the temple gate leads to the courtyard. And in order to get into the courtyard, you come through the small gate. It's usually a smaller gate. And this man is carried there daily.
Every day.
There's something I want you to see in that. It takes all of us doing our part. Imagine if those that carried him daily that day said, "I'm not carrying him today. I'm just tired of carrying him. Somebody else needs to pick this up, because I've done it last week, and I did it the week before, and Joe Blow was supposed to do it this week, and he didn't even show up, so I'm not carrying him this week."
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit of God is working in all of the circumstances that you face. He set it up. He set it up. He allowed him to be lame. He allowed the person to get him there. God has a way of taking care of all the details. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So don't overlook the fact that he was there. How did he get there? We kind of just say, "Oh, he's there at the gate. He's always there begging." How did he get there? Somebody helped him get there.
Mm-hmm.
That somebody could be you, and say you're the one that carries them every day, and you feel like, "I got this thankless job. I'm always helping this guy, and he's never given anything back. He can't. He has nothing to give. I'll just do it." But do you think that God is not honoring the person that has been carrying him all this time?
Yes, amen.
By the way, it's 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. How about that? So here he is, and then he looks up. Now we're going to go to the lame man. He looks up, doesn't look up, because most of the people then that beg don't really look. They just have their cup out, or their whatever they're going to, you know, usually a cup. And they just beg with their head down, because it's kind of a humiliating circumstance to be in. So you don't really look up at the faces of people, because you really don't want to see the look in their faces as you're begging. You ever been in that situation?
Oh, yeah.
Where you've had to ask somebody for something, and it was humiliating to you that you needed it?
Yep.
It's kind of hard to look that person in the eye and say, I'm in need. So often you'll notice that they don't make eye contact. They just, here's the cup. You know what my circumstances are. If you can help me, help me. If you can't, well, no condemnation coming from my eyes. I'm too embarrassed to even look up. But what does Peter tell him to do?
Look up.
Look at us. Mm-hmm. So the man looks up, excuse me. The man looks up with an expectation. And what do you think his expectation is?
That they're going to give him some money.
Yeah.
That they're going to give him some money. And, you know, maybe this is going to be a good day. Because they may not think I've seen them, but I've seen them. I've seen Peter and John walking into the temple just like they've seen me. And it seems like normally they don't say much. But this day. So he looks up with an expectation. But just like us, a lot of times, we look up with an expectation. Look up where? We look up to the Lord, to heaven, to Jesus. We look for an expectation. And what he meets us with is very different than what you were looking for.
Yep. Amen.
Classic example. This man is lame. He's carried everywhere he goes. He begs for a living. He's expecting money to help, you know, take care of whatever the needs are that he has, food and wherever shelter he has. I'm sure he's trying to contribute to that. But just understand, these people back then are not so different from us today. They still had to pay their way. They still had to pay for the house they lived in. So I'm sure he had needs that constantly needed to be met like anybody else. So he's expecting money to help with the needs of this very day. You remember in the Lord's Prayer, or which I like to call the Disciples' Prayer, where he says, give us this day our daily bread. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's saying, that's enough for you to worry about, is this day. But the Lord has a way of going over and above. He's looking for a way to keep paying what he has, because, or his needs being met through money. But the Lord has another plan for him this day.
Yes, amen.
Keep going.
Verse 7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately...
Go to 6, please, and go from there.
Sure. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God.
Let's stop there for a second. One sec. So he responds. He looks at Peter. Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And he extends his hand. And the man takes his hand. And as he begins to lift him up, the man can feel his ankles and is being girded up to be able to support him. Just as a little slight sidebar, what did Peter give him that day? We're not even going to talk about the other people. We'll get to them. What did Peter give that man that day?
Freedom.
Freedom. Freedom. What else?
Bless
healing. Healing. So instead of giving him $5 for his next meal, he gave him the ability now to work, be free, carry himself to the temple. Imagine how over and above that man's expectations. I would guess, now some people I hear argue, oh, there's, you know, if you don't have any faith, God is not going to work in your life. But God works on other people's faith in your life.
Amen.
I'm just going to say it because I hear that said too often, and I think it's a misconception. If I have a wayward son or daughter or friend or family member or anybody, and they have no faith, they're not even sure God exists, but in faith I'm praying for them, I'm asking for grace, I'm asking for protection, I'm asking for the Lord to intervene in their life, it's not predicated on that person's faith.
Amen.
When you pray for somebody sick or in a coma, is it their faith that you're relying on?
No.
No. Well, they're really sick, so, and they're really discouraged, so I got to tell you, God can't do anything for you because you're discouraged, which means your faith level's way down right now. So don't take that scripture that talks about without faith. Okay? Don't run with thinking that without faith God's not going to hear your prayers. Yes he is. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say something else. Where he's talking about in another part of the Gospels, I'm not sure where it is right now, but he was talking about that when he was in his hometown, he could not do any miracles because of their lack of faith. It was more than lack of faith. It was resentment. It was a demonic stronghold in the people that he was doing these. That's coming straight from the Holy Spirit, but didn't know that. It's the stronghold that's among people that know you well.
Right.
They think they know you so well that you couldn't possibly be. And it causes that spirit, not just of disbelief, but of resentment, jealousy, envy, comparing, competing, complaining, and criticizing, to rise up. That's what was hindering. Is that spirit that comes when you have those people that supposedly know you so well. Not a mystery that often you minister to your family, but you'll find that you have to go on out and just do God's work and forget the family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did God forget your family? Of course not. He's got his hand on your family, but you got to just keep going.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, keep going.
Verse 10. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now,
Amazing. Because I can't help but wonder if I don't have to wonder. That was all God's plan in the first place for him to be crippled. For that very hour that he was going to strengthen him, raise him up, and that he became a leaping testimony to all who saw him.
Yes,
he was there at that temple so long begging that people couldn't say, well, is that really him? Well, he really wasn't crippled that long. I'm pretty sure he just sprained his ankles. No, these people had seen him for years. That's part of the testimony. If he hadn't been crippled for all those years, then it wouldn't be the testimony that it is to the people that are seeing this happen. Sometimes our circumstances linger, and they linger longer than you would think they need to linger.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason for it, there's a reason for it.
Are we there? Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, hi, Tara. Alexandra's here, too. That's odd. They just went blank, right?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if we should hang up and call back in, you think? Oh, wait, here we go.
Yes, sir.
Here I am. I don't know what happened. The phone just hung itself up.
I mean, you just went kaplunk. Okay. Welcome back.
Got to definitely be mindful of continuously binding the powers that be of the
Amen.
Air of call is moving
yes.
through.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
For whoever just rejoined us, we just lost the call for no reason at all. Just the adversary interfering.
Yeah, that was me. When you came on, mine went off.
Wow.
You again, Carol? Uh-oh.
I know. Oh, my gosh. Him and I were on by ourselves. That's crazy. Get behind us, Satan.
So here we have, here we go again. He's healed. The people are become very aware of the power that's being demonstrated through these apostles. And this is now at the temple. Remember, it was an upper room where the Holy Spirit fell. So that's one huge group of people. Now this is another group of people. People that are at the temples. So what does that tell you? These are people that practice Judaism.
Right.
These are people that believe in the laws of Moses and the laws that the Sanhedrin came up with after that, But they're very religious people, and some of them are sincere. Next point. I want you to understand, just because somebody hasn't found their way to the truth, doesn't mean that they're insincere about seeking it.
Yeah.
Let me say that again. Just because somebody hasn't found their way to the truth doesn't mean that they're insincere about seeking it. Yeah. Now, why am I saying that? Because it's very easy for people who have found the truth to assume that everybody else is full of the devil, or they're bad people, or they don't know God, or It doesn't mean that they're not seeking God. They may not have found the path, but they're most likely on their way, because he says, if you seek after me, you'll find me.
Right.
So you meet a Muslim, and all of a sudden, the hairs stand up. And if you're thinking, oh no, it's a Muslim, they're Antichrist, they're this, they're that, they're the other. Number one, few of us have taken the time to study the Islam faith. And if you study it, you'll see where the road twisted. You'll also see that a lot of people in that faith didn't even have a choice. I mean, they came through like terrorists. And if your kid stepped out of line or anything was out of line, your kid could be beheaded. So it was behoove you to train your children in the strictest manner. You get on your knees 3 times a day. You do exactly what you're told to do, and you don't deviate and do not question, because it'll get you killed. If we could understand some of how people got to where they were, you'll understand that God understands that, and he has grace and mercy for them, too.
Amen.
Again, I got cut off right at the point where I said it is not always all about you. Yes, your relationship with God is personal. Yes, he is working on your behalf at all times, but on your behalf may include the rest of the people in the puzzle. The picture is not going to be complete when you, just you, are identified as a piece in the puzzle. It takes all the other pieces, and those pieces need you to be connected. Lame man, piece in the puzzle. Peter, John, piece in the puzzle. Oh, did I say, what is that part way out there? Oh, that's the people that carried him every day to the temple. Piece in the puzzle. All of these pieces make the big picture. And the big picture is what God is after. He's after all of us to be saved, not just some of us. That should be our heart as well. Sometimes, during the years of doing hair, I'd meet all kinds of people from all kinds of religions. And there were times that I knew, don't touch this. But do you think it ever stopped me from praying? Lord, help them to come to know you for who you are. I met some of the nicest people, but they had a misconception of Jesus. As a Muslim, they thought he was just a teacher. Oh, I'm sorry. That seems to be the same condition these people were in. But when they began to see the Lord operate through people, then they're listening. These are people steeped in Judaism, not so far from the Muslim faith, as far as the laws and the rigidness of it and the lack of grace and mercy. Sound familiar? Caught in adultery? Stone them? Not too far from the Muslim faith. Same. Okay, let's keep going.
Verse 11. Now was the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John. All the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk?"
Stop right there for one second. This is important. When God empowers you to do whatever it is that he has for you to do, I'm going to pray this very moment that the Lord guard our hearts. Guard our hearts so that we don't end up so full of ourselves and excited about what God is doing through us that we lose sight of God himself.
Yes.
And we say that we don't. We would verbally give God the glory, but it is very easy to get so caught up and excited about how God is using you that you forget the glory belongs to him. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. When someone comes up and says, "Oh, wow, what you did was so amazing," point directly to God.
Amen.
Point directly to God. It is not you doing it. It is his spirit within you.
Amen.
This is not anything that you're accomplishing for his kingdom. It's not by your own righteousness. It's not because you were really good at this and really good at that, and you didn't hit this pitfall, and you didn't hit that pitfall, and so therefore God chose me. Yeah, thanks. I caused this blind man to see just last week. You weren't there, but yeah, this lame man, it was just like the blind man last week. Did I tell you about that?
Oh.
Now, some of us will not necessarily have signs and wonders. We have other ways that we meet people where they are and bless them. And they come back and they say, wow, what you said was such a blessing to me. Oh, that's great. Well, thanks. I'm glad to hear it. You know, I'm glad I could help. Did you help? Wasn't you helping? Just direct it right back. And you're going to see Peter do the same thing. I'm asking the Lord to cover and guard our hearts, because as you grow in Christ, Christ is going to use you more. As his anointing falls on you, he's going to use you more. And as he uses you more, what do you think the adversary is going to scratch at your door with? Pride.
Yeah.
Pride. Ego. I'm going to point out that these people were uneducated people. And people could tell they were uneducated by the way they spoke. Those are the very people that would be vulnerable. Because they've never been acknowledged for anything before. That's who God seems to choose. The Zacchaeuses of the world.
Yeah.
Low. The uneducated. But sometimes you can get, you know, a taste of glory, and the next thing you know, your head can't fit in the door. Okay.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
So one strategy would be to turn it back and give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, that's what we're going to see right here.
Okay.
This is exactly how Peter handles it. What did she just read? What did Peter say? Men of Israel, why are you marveling at this? Mm. Keep going.
Verse 13, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and now know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all.
Amen. Hold on a second. So look how Peter used this as an opportunity to witness.
Yes.
Someone comes and says, oh, gee, what you said really touched my heart. And it was just what I needed to hear. What an opportunity to what? Witness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, why are you surprised? Do you know what Jesus Christ did? Do you know that his spirit lives in me and can live in you too? It's by his spirit that these things are said, not by any righteousness of my own or wisdom of my own. Now, not every situation is going to call for a dissertation from the person who just simply said thank you. But you're seeing the principle here. And Peter's taking every opportunity. You find us speaking in tongues, let me tell you what that's about. You find this lame man walking, let me tell you what that's about. And he keeps pointing it right back. For those of you who, in the beginning, it may be difficult, and you know that praise of men can be toxic, and there are certain times, and I'm saying it's toxic because I know it's toxic.
Mm-hmm.
The praise of men that doesn't belong to you is toxic. So I'll tell you what I've done over the years. We'll do a performance. And the Holy Spirit will have poured through the performers and rained on the people. And the people want to hurry up and gather around you to tell you how great this is. You know what I do? I run. I black out, vanish. They'll look around and they'll be saying, well, where's the person who wrote this? And she, her? Well, it's her. And they'll look again. I'm gone. You can't even find me.
Oh,
love it.
That's a way to stop it because it's too hard when too many people are coming at once.
Right. Yeah.
So I just bow out, slip out. And you know another reason I do that? So that the word that we just gave can take root in the heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't take root in the heart if the next thing is all about you.
Mm-hmm.
This play is all about God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not coming behind that act.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, they're focused on, oh, so how long have you been doing this? And blah, 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 blah. And how did you learn to write like that? How long have you been doing this? Next thing you know, what was witnessing in their heart is slowly slipping away because now you're the focus. How about they get to just go home on what was poured into them? Because they can't find anybody to give the glory, so they're stuck giving the glory to God. Huh. Get out of God's way. Keep going.
Verse 17. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses is truly
about that right there. I want you to see children of the living God. Do you see how gracious Peter dealt with the fact that they murdered Jesus?
Yes, they were ignorant. Yes.
Give people the positive benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
It makes witnessing a lot easier.
Yeah.
If you're not coming with this condemnation, you who have murdered the Lord Jesus who came and rejected him just as the scripture said you would. He said, what you guys did was, I'm gonna give you this. What is this? This is grace. I'm gonna say you probably didn't even understand what you were doing. And yet in this way, he lets them know they are still guilty of murdering the Son of God. But he offers them a way out. He's not offering them condemnation. He's saying, repent and have this sin taken from you.
Amen. Amen.
Do you hear that as a little different from some of our deliveries?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's not in our delivery, it's in our heart. Well, I know what you I know what kind of person you've been. So you need to repent or something. And really, not really sure you can be forgiven. I mean, I know you can be forgiven if you ask, but I don't know how. But okay. That's our heart. Our heart often is very ungracious. No matter how much grace is being extended to you over and over and over, it seems that we fall short when it comes time to extend that grace to somebody else.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this. We know Peter is speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit because there had to be a little something going on when he watched somebody he had walked with for 3 years, skin torn off and crucified.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that Peter didn't have human emotions for Jesus. And if you saw somebody do that, and these are the very people, your delivery could be a lot more angry, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But instead he says, oh, yet now, brethren, I know you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers.
Look at who he's given a pass to.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. He's given them a pass. Mm-hmm. And in that pass is a road to redemption.
Amen.
So some of us, let's be quick to give people a pass because it opens the road to redemption.
Amen.
Even the rulers who he knew had contemplated and schemed, he gave them a pass. Let's be quick to give one another a pass. Am I saying condone sin?
No.
No, but I'm saying open the road so that they can find a way to repentance.
Mm.
And people really don't come when all they hear is what they're doing wrong and beating them upside the head and telling them, you better stop. Mm. You better change. Most of the time, if they could, they would. Open the road for them through mercy and grace.
Yeah.
What a beautiful thing. Keep going.
Verse 22. For Moses is truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Amen.
Amen. We're going to stop right there. Peter goes on to expound on what happened. He goes on to bring in something these people would understand, something else I want to bring up. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. When you are teaching a people, a group, make it relevant to the people you're talking to. If Peter was expounding on Abraham, Isaac, the God of your fathers, the prophet Samuel, what would that mean if he was talking to Gentiles?
Not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot. They don't care about no Samuel. Samuel who?
Yeah.
Moses who? Oh, yeah, that's the guy who had that ark thing, whatever.
Right.
Make it relevant. Peter is talking to Jews, Sanhedrin, rulers, Judaism at its finest. And he makes it relevant to them. Bring it home in a way that your audience can understand. Make sense?
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
I think Peter is setting an excellent example, and yet it's the Holy Spirit setting the example.
Right.
If I was to say, oh, hey, Peter, great example you set here in Acts 3rd chapter, he'd say, it wasn't me, it was God. Why do you marvel? Do you not know now that the Holy Spirit, same Spirit operating in me, is operating in all of you?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, add a blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Good word. Thank you.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
A reminder. Such a reminder.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Agree.
Anybody have anything they want to share or a prayer request or questions?
Yeah, I think you blew my argument against the question you asked me, but I'll talk to you about it later.
Okay.
Oh, come on, Tara, come on.
Well, being asked to be ordained, That's a big step. I don't think I'm ready for it. And, you know, I been moved to a new house at work, and so I haven't been praying as much for these guys. But every now and then I try. And I just have been come with this feeling of it's just not getting through to this group. And so the other morning I had to come out of housing control on my way home and talk to a deputy before I left out. And there was a group of the inmates sitting there. And I looked at them, they all looked so sad. And I said, hey, why do you guys look so sad? It's not the end of the road. And they perked up and one of them said, are you guys prayed for us last night? I was like, yeah. And they all were like, thank you. So I was like, wow, maybe it did get through to them. But,
wow. May God be your glory.
Yeah. My argument is I'm still not ready. But then what you said at the beginning of the class is I'm sitting there going, oh, God.
Yeah.
I
know the feeling. Oh, do I know the feeling. God bless you.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We understand.
Everything that is coming to this level thinks they're not ready. And I got an FYI for you. So did I think you guys weren't ready. Just so you know. And so I prayed about it. And I said, Lord, I'm not comfortable with this. I say this and this, I see that and that, and I don't think these people are ready. And then the Lord showed me, oh, how ready they were. Mm. It was just so beautiful. He gave me a dream the very night that I asked the question. And a lot of you are young, but you're ready to go to higher places. Mm-hmm. And it will come with an anointing that comes with ordination.
Right. I think, and I've been struggling with this too, Terrell, and I've been praying about it, and I think the readiness comes with the willingness to let God take over and mold you. Not that you know it all or you do it all right, but it's a submission, and I just thought that right now for me it's like a fear thinking, okay, if I take this, if I say yes to this and I allow God to do this, you know, what path am I going to have to stay on or, you know, be on, which I've been praying for him to keep me on the path. So it's a matter of just releasing that, trusting him, and he will equip me where I'm still weak and where I still feel, you know, I have a lot more to learn, but I think that's where it is. And, that's what I suggest to you. Just continue to pray about it. Not with any contingencies. Just, you know, God, show me, give me peace about it. And, you know, so I feel the same way. I just want you to know. And I will be praying for you and everyone who, I don't know who it is. But, and this is Tammy, by the way.
Well, I realize that it's very personal too, Terrell. For me, you know, that intimacy with Father God, you know, we have our own personal prayer life, and rely on that. That's where I'm resting. Mm-hmm. And I think when the time is right, there'll be a knowing. Mm-hmm. You know, God, he communicates mm-hmm. to me with a knowing, like a for sureness that it's indescribable. You know what I mean?
No, exactly. That works for, that may be how he speaks to you, and it is certainly how he speaks to me.
But not for everyone. That's
in David. Remember, David was a 17-year-old boy out minding his own business, keeping the sheep. Yes. And a prophet walks up and says, I need to anoint you as king of Israel. And it was going to be years before he came and stepped into that calling.
Yes.
Yes. Anointed, equipped with what he needed for that then.
Right. Amen.
Saul, another person who had no, he said, are you kidding me? I'm from the least tribe of all of Israel. You don't mean me.
Right.
I'm the
right.
tribe that almost got wiped out because of our horrible sin.
Mm.
And Samuel said, no, it's you. And Saul was so unsure of it that when it came time, he ran and hid in a shed for tools.
Right. Like you do.
I mean.
Amen.
It's so intimate.
So just know.
So intimate.
You know, the Lord's already spoke to you, but I'll leave that over.
My first response to God is the same response I had when he called me, and that is, me? I know you.
Yes, amen. Okay,
you can't be talking about me.
Exactly. Amen. Oh, you're not alone, brother.
All right.
I ain't never seen so much in my life. Wait, make it snow, Daddy. You know, on a 90-degree day, I get it. I so get it. Man, do I get it. God
right.
bless you. And pray for all of us.
God wants that transparency that you show every single step, Carol. That you who he will use. You know, so it's a wonderful thing that you can be so transparent, because that's what he's looking for. He's not looking for who is pious and arrogant and all that. He takes the lowly, the ones who feel that they are not even worthy, and that's who he wants, because he will make you worthy, because we're not.
Mm-hmm.
And we recognize that. That blesses him. So I thank God for you for sharing that.
Any volunteers to close us in prayer?
You said that kind of kind of strangely.
I think we need to hear from Richard today.
Didn't want to call your name so I could help you back.
Oh, I love it.
Well, let's go to God in prayer together. Father God, we are so thankful that you give us laughter, that you give us the opportunity to express ourselves in the way that we can, because you at that time, you care about every detail of our lives, our thoughts, fears, our concerns, our insufficiencies. Lord, you care about all of that because you are sufficient. And Lord, you are our source of life. You will give us all that we need. How do we know that? Because you've shown that time and time again. You can go back through the Old Testament and see what you've done with so many of your people who were insufficient. Lord, we know that we are today, but we know that you are sufficient and that you can use us, Lord. And we thank you for choosing us to use us for your glory, because as Jeanette said, it's not about us. It's about you. So thank you for giving us to use, Father, because you didn't have to use us. You could use a donkey to speak. You could use a tree to talk. You could use a rock to take our place. But, Lord, you chose us, Lord, and I refuse to let a rock cry out for you in my place. So, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be right with you, anointed in spirit and truth with you, and that, Lord, you would get all the glory and all the honor in our lives, Lord, as we live on this side. Because once these eyes close on this side of heaven, that's not another opportunity. So, Lord, let us not miss opportunities that you have for us. Let us rejoice at those opportunities, and we go forward in spirit and truth, trusting in you, Almighty God, and you will never let us down, for you're not a God that can lie, and you are always true and consistent. And we praise you. We praise you for the word that has been spoken today. We praise you for the reading word of Zandra, Lord God, and we pray that your word continue to strengthen us and lift us up as we walk into this week that you've given to us to walk. Let us open our mouths with a joy and with a love and with a thanksgiving to others. We walk by faith and not by faith. So we bless you today, Lord, and we praise you and we thank you. Meet those needs that those that are on this call, that those that may be listening, that hasn't spoken it out in words, but Lord, in their heart, you know what it is. Meet those needs, Lord. Bless them today and them along this path of life. We pray for them, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that their hearts would be no longer troubled, but be fulfilled by your living word. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And bless you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you guys. Have a beautiful week.
Same to you.
Bye-bye.